Good morning, I'm Michael Lyon. Welcome to Event Calendar. Immunize Nebraska is holding its 9th annual immunization conference this coming Friday, June 1st at the Ramada Plaza and Cocoa Key Water Resort, 3321 South 72nd Street in Omaha. Joining me this morning is Dr. Archana Chatterjee, the Creighton University School of Medicine Chief for the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases. Good morning, Dr. Chatterjee.
Good morning, Michael.
It's been about a year since we talked last time, and I know last time you were concerned particularly that parents were aware that they had to get a double shot of a particular vaccine. I'm sure the landscape has changed over the past year. Tell us what sort of things you're going to cover in the conference this year.
Well, a lot of things about immunizations remain the same year to year, and there are generally a few changes that happen. This year, there have not been any new vaccines that have been introduced, but we are focusing on some vaccines that are perhaps not given adequately to children. We are also focusing on vaccines for adults, for example, pregnant and lactating women who often don't realize that they need vaccines. So the first part of the program is a vaccine update, which is just bringing people up to date on the new recommendations for existing vaccines.
We've had almost an absence of certain diseases for many, many years in this country because of these vaccines. And in fact, the Douglas County Health Department recently sent us a press release, which we announced as a public service announcement, reminding people that if they were going to travel abroad for the Olympics, that they did need to get boosters, that some of these vaccines were not permanent for life.
That is absolutely correct. And the one I think you're referring to is the measles vaccine that the health departments are very concerned about, because wild-type measles has not been circulating in the United States now for many years, but imported cases of measles that then cause localized outbreaks have been occurring, and the big concern is because there are cases of measles that are occurring in the UK, that there might be importations from the Olympics.
You mentioned that one of the things that parents should remember to do during the summer months when it comes to immunizations is to find their child's, and in the cases that we've just been talking about, their own immunization records. It's important to keep up to date on those things, you're saying.
Yes, I think summertime is a great time, you know, where you have a little bit of extra time. You're not so worried about school and things like that, to go ahead and check immunization records for the children as well as the parents, and bring everybody up to date.
And, of course, the healthcare providers typically do maintain a list of those kind of immunizations, so they can parents can also check with those healthcare providers.
That's correct. The healthcare providers do, and there is a Nebraska Immunization Information System, so it's a web-based registry, which we will be featuring at the conference as well, that parents can access to find their immunization records.
Among the other things you say are important for parents to do during the summer months, if they have a child in daycare or preschool, check on the policies for attendees and workers regarding immunizations. Do many of these facilities actually even have a policy?
Some do, and I think it's an important thing for a parent or a would-be parent to check to see whether the people who will be taking care of this newborn baby are actually immunized against dangerous diseases like whooping cough. That's the one that we're focusing on through the immunization task force, because this disease, as you know, can be deadly for babies. And so people worry about the people at home, the parents, grandparents, siblings, but we also have to think about the people at the daycares who are taking care of these young children.
You also mentioned that there are cases where people are bringing a new baby into the family, either by birth or adoption, and that it's a good idea to check on and update the immunization status of family members and others who will be in close contact with the baby.
Absolutely. So there have been several studies that have been shown that if you look at whooping cough, the most likely person that the child gets whooping cough from is actually the mother, followed by the father, as you would expect, and then grandparents and siblings.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wondered as I asked you that question whether that was merely an academic exercise, but you're saying this is supported by fact.
It absolutely is, and as I mentioned, there are a number of studies that support that, and so it's very important to make sure that the mother is vaccinated, but also the father, siblings, and other people who will be close to that baby.
And of course, checking on these things is all well and good, but ultimately parents should make appointments to update their child's and their vaccinations.
Absolutely, and they can do that through their own healthcare providers. During the school year, there are school-based health clinics that have been opened in Omaha that can also provide these immunizations, and they can certainly go to the public health clinics as well.
Among the breakout sessions and the topics that you're covering in the immunization conference is one thing that's been in the news recently, and that's post-polio syndrome. What is that?
So post-polio syndrome is something that has been observed in polio survivors many decades, perhaps, after they suffered from the original episode of polio. And it takes different forms. Mostly, it causes pain in the limb that was affected. In some cases, there is muscle wasting and weakness that occurs in the limb that was affected. It's not well understood, and it's sometimes mistaken for other things, but it's definitely a well-recognized syndrome.
And what kind of research exists to show that this is sort of a degenerative aspect of polio versus symptoms of advancing age?
So there are a couple of different types of research that have been taking place over the last few years. There are animal models of polio in which it's been shown that actually the nerves that had regenerated after polio initially degenerate then after many years. There's also evidence that you can find pieces of the polio virus, if you will, the polio genome, in these people many, many decades after they had the initial episode of polio. So it's been hypothesized that the poliovirus may be latent, may lie quiet for some time and become active later on.
Do you have any sense of, or is there any statistical data out there that actually shows the percentage of former polio sufferers who actually suffer from this degenerative disease?
Those numbers are difficult to come by because, as I said, this can mimic many other neurodegenerative disorders and often gets misdiagnosed. So it takes an astute clinician to find out if the patient actually had polio in the past and then try to determine whether this is post-polio syndrome or something else that they're suffering from.
We've got just about 1 minute left, but one of the other breakout sessions I notice is communication strategies with vaccine-hesitant parents or patients. Some people do have a realistic, albeit very slight, statistically significant fear that that they will suffer from some inadvertent bad result from vaccinations. How do you deal with that?
Well, we have an expert on that coming to speak. Dr. Ken Alexander, Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases from the University of Chicago, will be covering that session. And you're absolutely correct. Vaccines have become a victim of their own success, as some people have said. These vaccine-preventable diseases have disappeared from the public arena. A lot of people have never seen them. A lot of physicians and other healthcare providers have never seen them. And so the fear of vaccines has become, or vaccine side effects, I should say, has in some cases become so much that people are refusing to vaccinate their children. And I think that that is a very dangerous trend.
Dr. Chatterjee, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Michael.
My guest today has been Dr. Archana Chatterjee, Creighton University School of Medicine's Chief Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases. We've been discussing the Immunize Nebraska 9th Annual Immunization Conference this coming Friday, June 1st at the Ramada Plaza, 3321 South 72nd Street. More information is available at cme.creighton.edu.